Good evening, everyone. It's Donna Fox. I'm so glad you're tuning in. We are going to be on the show Akashic Wisdom for the evening. Today is June 3rd, 2007. I cannot believe that it's actually June 3rd, 2007. Can you? They say that time goes faster the older you get. Well, all I know is that it just seemed like yesterday that my kids were born, and it seemed like even this morning that my grandkids were born. Oh, well, here we are on a beautiful June 3rd day, and I just want to know, what do you want to talk about? This is the Akashic Wisdom Show, and it's your show. This is your show, and you can call in and ask whatever you'd like about the Akashic Records, about possibly things in your life that you'd like to know more about. We were talking last time at the Ask the Akasha show. We ended up talking about the possibility of me telling the story of Roswell, New Mexico. But before we get to that, if we have a lot of callers, then I will curtail that story. But if you are just willing to listen, let me give you the phone numbers for tonight. It's 877-876-5227 if you live in the U.S., or toll-free is 888-815-9756. That's in Canada. Or the direct line is 530-876-3222. And if you're out of the country, it's 01-530-876-3222. Also, breaking news, I'm going to be in the Seattle, Washington area this coming week. I will be available for face-to-face consultations, if you live in that area, on June 6th and 7th. So if that's of interest to you, please call my office number of 216-691-1233, and you can get a hold of me, and that'll be forwarded to me, or you can call my cell, 216-392-5490 when I'm traveling. And another breaking news is we're going to actually be doing the level one class. It was actually originally scheduled for the 9th and 10th of June, and we have actually changed that because of some interesting events. We're going to have it on June 6th and 7th, which is a Wednesday and Thursday, but for those people who work, we're going to have it in the evening from 5 until 9 on both Wednesday and Thursday, where you will learn how to access your own personal Akashic Records. And there's a largely discounted price for that. You're going to save over $150 on that. So do give me a call. Again, that is for the Seattle area, the 6th and 7th of June, from 5 to 9, both Wednesday and Thursday. So give me a call. Sounds like it should be a lot of fun. A very, very special class is forming there. So looking forward to talking to you and talking to you tonight, as well as meeting you when I'm in Seattle. Okay, just as a comment, if you enjoy hearing me on the radio, and if you enjoy what my work is about, I just want you to know that I am willing to travel anywhere in the United States, or for that matter, anywhere in the world, where there is a group of people gathered that want to know about the Akashic Records. I do speak nationally across the country. I go where I'm invited, and I go and I speak to large groups of people at expos, as well as private gatherings for various organizations. Please call me if this is of interest to you. Also, if you'd like to host a workshop at your location, if you have a group of spiritual friends that is interested in working with the Akashic Records, interested in knowing more about the Akashic Records, interested in learning how to access their own Akashic Records, I go where I'm invited. And usually like to have approximately 10 to 15 folks in a class, and we can certainly work it out. So the classes are not huge. The classes are small so that I can give you real good individual attention with the masters, teachers, and loved ones to help you learn how to access your own Akashic records. And then we go through to teach you whatever it is that not only the group needs, but also to how to use your records in every area of your life. So if this is of interest to you, don't feel daunted by numbers. Where I'm called, the record keepers always support me. And so I feel real confident in saying, have prayer, will travel. And the reason I say that is because if you've been listening, you know that I access the Akashic records through a holy prayer. The prayer itself is a vibrational key, and it shifts the energy to make the information accessible. If you'd like to know more about what I do, my website is www.akashicwisdom.com. Therein lies the reason for the name of the show, akashicwisdom.com. And again, my office phone number is 216-691-1233. And if you'd like to email questions in tonight, you certainly can do that by emailing me at akashicwisdom@aol.com. Okay, right before we signed off for the Ask the Akasha show earlier, there was a question about teaching, and what I would like to share with you is that I am a certified teacher through Akashic Record Consultants International, and you can find out more about Akashic Record Consultants International by going to their website at www.arc-akashicrecords.org. So we have teachers all over the world, and many of us travel. So do look us up and see what is new for you and how would you like to bring the Akashic Records into your life. Okay, so let's talk about Roswell. Well, interestingly enough, what happened was there was a teacher's retreat in Redosio, New Mexico. And Redosio, New Mexico is 72 miles from Roswell. And when we were in Redosio, New Mexico, a fellow teacher of mine and a friend of mine, we decided we were so close to Roswell, we were very, very curious about Roswell, that we, in fact, decided to go and see what Roswell is all about. And what we actually wanted to do was we wanted to be able to open up the records of the land of Roswell, New Mexico, to learn more about the crash, or what they called the crash of the ET back in 1947. So we wanted to open up the records of the land to find out more about what was going on there, actually. And that's one of the things that you learn in Level 2, is you learn how to not only open up records of other people, but you also learn how to open up the records of the land and animals. So my friend Julie and I, we decided to get in the car and drive to Roswell. And it's a lovely drive. And I've got to tell you that New Mexico is a beautiful state, very flat where we were, but very beautiful. And so it was a nice drive. We ended up coming in to Roswell. And this, let's see, when was this? This was probably... Oh, this is back a while. So I would say it was probably 96, 97, maybe 98, 1998. No, it was 97, I think. Doesn't make any difference, does it? Okay. We drove into town, but it was at least a good 10 years ago. So, but what I wanted to also share is that it was long after the Roswell incident in 1947. So as we drove into town, it was rather surreal. We had the windows up on the car, the van we were driving, and I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when you have your windows up, it's silent on the inside, and you can see the activity going on the outside, and it's kind of surreal, like you're watching this silent movie with people walking around, but you can't really hear anything. So it just felt really surreal to be there anyway. We drove down Main Street and happened to look over and see the furniture store had advertisements with little green men on the windows. It was quite interesting. I mean, Roswell and little green men. And it being quite a while. Well, it was probably 50 years after it happened, so maybe there was an anniversary. So we decided we would go to the city hall to see if, in fact, there was maybe a map of where the site, you know, a site map of where the crashes were, or possibly the person at the city hall knew more about where the crashes were or whatever. So we go to the city hall, and we walk in, and there's a visitors bureau there. Now, we didn't necessarily want to tell folks or say to them, hi there, we'd like to open up the records of the land, because we realized that not everybody possibly was familiar with the Akashic records, and it might take more explanation than that was necessary. Not to mention the fact that in order to get permission to open up the records of the land, what we would do would be first to open up our records and then ask the record keepers if it would be okay and appropriate for us to open up the records of the land. And that is the way we get permission, especially if we don't know who the owners are. And in this particular case, the idea of opening up the records of Roswell, New Mexico, out in the desert, where the ET crash was, good possibility, very strong possibility, we didn't know who the owner was, but that it was, in fact, public land. So we want to be as respectful and within the integrity as possible. That's why we didn't necessarily mention what we wanted to do to the people behind the desk at the city hall, who seemed quite busy at the time. And so we just said we wanted to go and explore the site, or the crash site, or the area. So we went in there and we said, do you have a map of where the crash was, et cetera. And now you would think that most time, that this is Roswell, New Mexico. I don't exactly know what else they're noted for, but you would think the folks in the city hall would kind of understand that people want to come in and take a look at that. And so this lady who took care of us, she wasn't necessarily the strongest person on customer service. And so we said, do you have a map of the site where the crash hit? And she actually said, what crash? And we mentioned the ET crash, and she said, oh, no, we don't have anything like that here. You'll have to go over to the museum, the Roswell Museum, and that they have all the information on the crash. And the way she said it almost made it sound like she didn't believe it really happened either, and they'll give you the information you need. Well, we asked where that was, and it was back on Main Street, and she said it's the former dime store, the Woolworths dime store, or maybe it was Kresge's, I don't know. So here, it's a storefront with, in the windows, there were like ETs and rocket ships, and it said Roswell Museum. And we pulled up and parked at the meter, and we walked in, and it was a large, it's like an, like if you can imagine, it wasn't as big as like a Walmart like that, but it was it's a large area that you could tell it had been a retail establishment at one time. And we walked in, and there was a counter there, and lady says, may I help you? And we said, oh, well, first thing she asked us actually was where we were from. And so I said, well, I'm from Cleveland, and my friend's here from Chicago. But we were actually driving in from Redosio because we wanted to see Roswell. And she says to us, oh, Redosio, that's 72 miles from here. And we said, we're kind of surprised that she actually knew that. And we said, oh, that's right. Redosio is 72 miles from here. And so we said, well, she goes, well, you're just going to have to put your pin in the push pin that shows where everybody comes from in our map here on the wall. So we went over and we put our push pin in that represented where we lived in the United States, in the push pin in the map on the wall. And we asked her if there was a map of where the site was, because what we wanted to do was go and meditate on the land. And again, it was easier to say meditate on the land than open the Akashic records, because you never know, et cetera. So she goes, well, no, I don't know. She goes, but he might know. And so she pointed us, without naming this person, over to this gentleman who was standing in front of a display window. And the display window itself had a mannequin that was dressed up as a doctor, and another, it was a mannequin, and it looked like a gray, an ET, extraterrestrial being, on the operating table, and it was like the doctor was going to examine this being. Like I said, it was a mannequin; they weren't real, and. And so anyway, the guy was there, and he happened to talk to us, and we said that what we wanted was a map or some directions onto where the actual crash site was, because we wanted to go and meditate on the land. And he said, well, where are you from? And again, I said, well, I'm from Cleveland, and my friend's from Chicago. He goes, I was in Chicago. He goes, I was a railroad man there, but I retired when the train ran someone over, and I retired. And that was an interesting piece of information. And he said, what brings you to Roswell? And we said, well, we're staying in Redosio, and we just decided to drive in. And he goes, oh, Redosio, that's 72 miles from here. Okay, so now this is the same response the other lady gave us. And we thought, that's very interesting. So he said, well, I don't really have there's really no actual map of where the crash happened. He goes, why don't you look around and maybe you'll find someone who'll know a little bit more about it. He goes, I don't have that information. So we said, okay. He goes, and there's a movie. So there was a movie like right in the middle of this museum this large store with lots of displays about ETs and planets and galaxies and starships, etc. And right in the middle was like a structure that had chairs in it, and there was a movie that was on continuous play. And it was the movie, the PBS movie, as a matter of fact, you might have even seen it, on Roswell, New Mexico. Well, we went in there and we sat down. And the weird part about this was we sat down to watch the movie and we got very sleepy. I mean, it was very odd that we got sleepy in the middle of the afternoon. It was like I found myself, my head nodding with my eyes closed. Very strange. So it was like an energy around it, like put us to sleep. That's the best way to explain this to you. And so we finally, you know, kind of realized, gee, we better get going if we're going to, you know, be there before and back before dark. So we left where the movie was. We were on our way to where the gift shop was, wanted to see if they had possibly some maps there, and I passed by a crop circle, display. And I wanted to see if there was some information there. And anyway, long story short, we go to the gift shop. I look to see if there's any crop circle books there. There isn't. So I decide to go back and to write some things down from the display that I saw in crop circles. And as I'm going back, coming toward me was an older gentleman. And he looked very familiar to me. And I wasn't quite sure where I'd seen him from, but he looked very familiar. And as he's walking toward me, he literally stopped me, where they're kind of like the only ones in this, like, area, this hall area. And he said, are you a believer? And I said, I beg your pardon? He goes, are you a believer? And I went, a believer? I'm not sure what you mean. You mean believers of ETs and things like that? And he said, yes, yes, are you a believer? And I went, oh, absolutely. I really know that there's got to be extraterrestrial life on other planets. Oh, absolutely, I'm a believer. Yes, that's one of the reasons I'm here. And I said, gee, you look very familiar to me. He goes, well, this is my museum, and you might have recognized me. I'm the undertaker that took the call when the Roswell people called, people that they had found the ET, and they wanted to bring the body to my funeral home. I went, oh, my, yes, I do remember you. I said, well, I can share with you a little bit. I said, the reason that we're here, I figured, you know, if I was going to tell anybody we were going to go open up the records of the land, this would be the guy, you know. So I told this gentleman, I said, you know, I said, the reason we're here is my friend and I, we work with the Akashic Records, and what we wanted to do is open up the records of the land to get more information about the crash and what was really going on there. He goes, oh, that's wonderful. That's just wonderful. He got all excited. And so he rushes me in, okay, rushes me into the gift shop, okay, and he says to this lady, and he says, Sandy, come here, Sandy. And so Sandy comes over, and at that point my friend Julie comes up, and he goes, tell her what you're going to do. Just go ahead. He goes, Sandy, wait till you hear this. Well, Sandy was looking at me like a deer in headlights, and it said Sandy, manager, on it. So I think she was the manager of the gift shop. And so I said, well, what my friend and I want to do is we want to go out to where the crash site is or in that area and open up the records of the land because we work with the Akashic Records. And Sandy was very nice, still looking at me like a deer in headlights. And all she could say was, oh, yeah, well, oh, that's nice, Well, obviously she was not impressed with what we wanted to do, but this gentleman was very impressed with what we wanted to do, so he took us over to a map. And he said, so I said, well, can you just kind of show us on the map where it might be so we know? He goes, yes, come this way. So we go to this map on the wall, and he said, well, there was another sighting up here, and he's pointing quite a bit of ways from where Rudocio was, and actually quite a bit of ways from where the Roswell, but I guess there'd been a more than one sighting in that area. I said, well, no, we really have to stay more towards Roswell because we're actually staying in Rudocio. And again, he just stops short, turned to us and said, oh, Rudocio, that's 72 miles from here. It's like, you know, I felt like I was either in Westworld or Stepford Wives or something, because everyone seemed to have the same response about where Rudocio was. Anyway, so this gentleman tells us where it is on the map, or gives us an idea of where we should go and where we should go on the freeway, and we should just... So he gave us some directions. Anyway, long story short, we get on the freeway, and as I said, New Mexico is a very flat land, especially where we were. It's very flat, and a lot of desert on either side, and with cows grazing, with these little flimsy fences made out of barbed wire. And so some of the places where the barbed wire had been stomped down, where it was clearly private property, and so we really couldn't find where he had talked about where we should go. So we decided to pull into a rest area and open our records and ask the masters, teachers, and loved ones where we could go to open up the records of the land. So we went and we opened our records and asked the masters, teachers, and loved ones where to go. And they were nice enough to give us some direction, and actually directed us to a place we had to turn around, to a road by the name of Sage. And it was interesting because it was on the other side of the freeway, and it was the only like public-looking road that there was. So we turned off of, in other words, like, so you have to understand that there's this large freeway. This was not an exit. This was an actual road that you just turned off onto from the freeway itself. Like if you pulled over to the side, here was this road, and it wasn't blocked by barbed wire or anything like that. So we slowed down, and we turned off onto this road by the name of Sage. And we drove down way far. I mean, so far that we couldn't really see the freeway anymore. Now, this was not a developed road. It was more like a dirt road, a very much a dirt road. And we had a van. It was okay. And again, we're in desert, so it wasn't like it was muddy or anything like that. And so we drove all the way, and so far, like I said, when we got out of the van, we couldn't really see the freeway. And so now there's just Julie and I in this deserted area of the desert. Now, it had rained a couple of days or earlier that day, so the sand was still a bit wet. So Julie decided to sit down right here, right near where the van was, on a shirt. She just laid like a little blanket on the shirt so that she could sit on it. Well, I was going to continue farther because I was looking for a rock to sit on. Now, the majority of you folks have never met me or seen me, but I'm a large woman, and sitting down on the ground can be a bit uncomfortable. And it's not so much sitting on the ground as it is getting up off the ground, because that can be a little bit of a challenge. So I'm walking down, and I'm looking around, and I'm saying, you know, to the masters, teachers, and loved ones, okay, folks, I need a rock to sit on. This would be good. I need a rock, okay? I need a rock. And I'm walking, and I don't see any rocks for me to sit on, and all of a sudden I hear, okay, sit down here. And I look around, and say, well, there's no rock to sit on, so I can't sit here. And I hear very strongly, you need to sit down here. And I went, but I don't want to sit down here because I'm afraid to kind of get back up again. It'll be hard to get up, and I don't really. And I heard a very forceful voice say, sit down now. So I sat down then, and because I've learned to do what I'm told when it comes from guidance. And as I sat down on the ground, I landed fairly hard because it's, anyway, and all of a sudden, you know, I've never seen anything like that before, and I've never seen anything like it since. I saw the most magnificent flutter of pinholes of light. Now, I don't know if you folks have ever really seen pinholes of light. I think you probably have. You know, they're just, all of a sudden, it looks like a firefly, but it's not, because it's like in the middle of a room or a day, you know. And all of us, but these, there had to be thousands of them. Thousands of these pinholes of light. As I sat down, they just kind of flew up, you know. I mean, I don't know if I disturbed them or what, or they just were gathering around me or what, but all I can tell you is they gave off such a feeling, such a sensation of love, of ecstasy, of bliss, that the sounds that were coming from me were quite sensual. I guess that's the best way to explain it, because I was expressing myself by saying, oh, wow, oh, man, because it was, this energy was running through my whole entire body and putting me in such a blissful state that I had never, ever experienced before. Now, I've experienced love washes, and those are wonderful. Love washes are great, but this was by far the most ecstatic, may I say, orgasmic experience I'd ever had. It was amazing, just amazing. And because I had the records open, I asked permission. Now, I got some information about what my connection was with that land, but then I got permission from the record keepers. I asked for the good of the, and the highest, from the highest integrity and the good of the work of the Akasha, and in order to help support and heal the land, I wanted to understand what happened during that crash in 1947. And I asked permission if I could open up the records of the land. And what they said is I could, and the way I opened up the records of the land from the Roswell, New Mexico region. And I opened up the records of the Roswell, New Mexico region. And what was shown to me was that the Roswell crash happened not from a place, not from the ship coming in and trying to land, but from the ship going out from underneath the ground. And what I was told is that there are bases that run all very deep into the earth from that connect Roswell, Sedona, and all those the areas in California. They go from there all the way out to California underground. And what the ETs are doing is working on creating a species that can weather and survive on their planet because their resources had been depleted. Much like ours, it's almost like their planet or planets or galaxies, if you will, are. This is what some of them are doing, by the way. They are experimenting from an interbreeding point of view to create the perfect being that will withstand the planet atmosphere that's been depleted. Well, what's interesting about that is that they have been there for eons, and they very much like it here on Earth, and they very much like the humans, they're very spiritual beings. These ones that I connected with, and what was told to me was that this interbreeding, if you will, began eons and eons ago from the original human that crossed the straits and came into that area, and that you could tell because the true Native American is truly a combination of higher being. Higher being being an extraterrestrial, that interbreeding is there from, as well as the human species, and the way you know that's true is because the true Native American has no facial hair, or actually very little body hair, and no body odor, and this is also true of the Amazon. So that there are bases in the Amazon, there are bases all over, and this interbreeding has been occurring. I don't suppose this is news to a lot of you out there. I know that we know this is all true, that ETs walk among us, and that we are really all one. And that the experimentation to look for other ways of surviving on the various planets is something that we as humanoid species are looking to do. But that's what I learned from the records. Now, I'm writing all this information in my journal. You have to understand that as I'm walking back, now where I was sitting, I could hardly even see my friend Julie. She was very small, although our voices carried. I was quite a ways away from her. And as I'm sitting there journaling this information that I just shared with you, on the way, as I was walking down, I was really clear that, you know, if I ever got a chance to you know, ride in a ship, I would love that. That would be fun. I would definitely want to go. Okay, thought that would be a great idea. And I'm sitting journaling, and all of a sudden, I hear the ground growl. It's like, you know how your stomach growls, and the noise it kind of makes when it's regurgitating, or it's just the air is in your belly. That's what I heard the ground do, and I felt it. And all of a sudden, I didn't want to go on a ride anymore. All of a sudden, it shocked me so much, it kind of brought me back into my body, if you will, and surprised me so much that the next thing I know, it's like two supports were underneath my elbow, and I was up on my feet. And the adrenaline was pumping, and I was afraid. And I have to tell you, I was afraid. I didn't know what that sound was. I didn't know if it was an animal. I didn't know if the ground was going to open and swallow me up. I didn't know any of that. All I know is that at that point, I decided, okay, so I don't want to take a ride. Okay, so I'll just talk to you other ways. I don't have to go. And I walk back, and I'm talking to myself because I was a little shocked. So as I'm walking back, I'm picking up rocks because I'm wanting to feel grounded here. So I'm picking up little rocks as I'm going. And lo and behold, what do I pick up? I picked up a beautiful small piece of amethyst crystal and another beautiful piece of rose quartz. Now, I'm not a geologist, but to my knowledge, amethyst and rose quartz, the pieces like I got, it's not like they were a huge cluster, they were just small pieces, are not indigenous to that area where I was walking. And what I got from the records is these are pieces of crystal that actually had fallen off the ships. But I don't know what they were for, and I didn't go into any more detail. So that's my story about opening the records of Roswell, New Mexico. Now, I've got to tell you, the drive back to Redosio was amazing. Because once we got back in the car, and I've got to tell you, Julie asked me, she goes, what were you doing down there? You sound like you're having a pretty good time. And so I explained to her what happened. And what she got from opening up the records of the land was the land needed to be nurtured and cared for. And that Mother Earth herself was calling out for more heartfelt responsibility from humans. Now, this is, again, 10 years ago. So very interesting stuff. So anyway, we drive back, and we get back on the freeway, and we're headed back toward Redosio, which is 72 miles from where we were at, probably a little bit more. And we see the most magnificent electrical storm way off in the distance. So it wasn't raining where we were. We saw this wonderful light, these lightning bolts. And as we're driving, the next thing we know, it gets very, very dark, and then very light, and then dark and light. And then all of a sudden, we get a rain pour, a downpour, so hard that we had to pull off the road. The rain came so strong. We couldn't see in front of us. So we pulled over to the side until it stopped, got back in the car, and continued on. And all of a sudden, I look to my left over Julie's shoulder, who's driving, and I see there's a rainbow out there. And I said, ooh, let's stop and look at the rainbow. So again, we pulled off the road. And as we got out of the car, I looked up and saw the most magnificent double rainbow. And it seemed to go from one end of the state to the other. It covered the entire sky. I've just never seen anything like it before in my life. It was so magnificent. And for the second time that day, I felt an ecstatic, joy-filled presence just flow right through me. Another orgasmic-like feeling of joy, of seeing this beauty, this beautiful rainbow, this double rainbow that looked like two sets of chakra colors. It was the most magnificent thing I've ever seen, and to this day, I've never seen a double rainbow that large. In fact, I've never seen a double rainbow since then, and never saw one before that. And I've never seen a rainbow that went from one end of the horizon to the other. It was like an arc that we were traveling under. And what was interesting about this whole story is it was that time in Redosio that the teachers of the Akashic Records had gotten together, and we had decided that our name would be Akashic Record Consultants International. And for the longest time, we referred to ourselves as ARC. And so there was our ARC in the sky. And so that's my story. about Roswell, New Mexico. If you guys are still listening and have any questions, I'd love to answer them for you. Thanks for letting me finish that, by the way. It was a great way to express it to you. So if you're out there and you'd like to ask some questions about what else I found out about Roswell, New Mexico, I don't know what else I can tell you, but I got the records open, so they're happy to answer any questions that you might have right now about Roswell, about ETs, about our relationship with them. I won't ask the questions. It's up to you to ask the questions if that's something that you'd like to know. We have about 15 more minutes online here that we can talk to you about. So if you're out there and you'd like to call in, please do so now at 877. If you're in the USA, it's 877-876-5227. Or if you're in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. Or if you're out of the country, dial 01-530-876-3222. So would love to hear from you on that. So so that's the story of Roswell, New Mexico. And if in fact you have missed this and you want to hear the story of Roswell, please, you know, go to the archives if you missed it. Catch a hold of the archives and be patient. Our wonderful Don here from BBSradio.com, he gets inundated now and then. Those archives will be up soon. But this is the June 3rd radio show. That would be the date for that you want to look up for the story of Roswell if you'd like to hear that again. And it's Akashic Wisdom. So that's my story of Roswell. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Akashic Records and how they can change your life and how you can find out more about them. Or if you have any questions, you can also email them to me if you're a little shy about getting on the air. Please feel free to email me your questions at akashicwisdom@aol.com. That'd be great. Let's see if we have some questions here. Let me take a look and see what we've got. I am. It says, are you answering questions? If so, I would like to know, what is holding me back from serving humanity? Okay. This young man gives me his birth date. Don't need that. Just as a comment, when I read the Akashic Records, when I read, so if I do an individual consultation with you folks, what happens is I actually open up the records through a holy prayer. And all I need when we do the consultation is your current legal name. That's it. And you have your questions ready. And I call in the light. I say the prayer. I also say it silently, inserting a few things that I don't say out loud. It's very sacred. And then I say, okay, your records are open. What would you like to know? And at that point, you ask your first question. That's the way that runs. So I'm going to just take a look at all these questions here and see what we have. So here's a question here is, can you ask the Akashic Records if certain healing modalities would be a good choice for us? And then I can answer that. That's easy. Let me hear. Okay. And so the next question is, she wants to know if it's beneficial to ask about past lives so that we clear issues and beliefs. So these are great questions. Let me start with what Don was asking, and then we'll get to the other ones. Don wants to understand what's holding him back in various areas of his life. And he asks about what is holding me from the benefit what is holding me from the benefit of the universe, of my soul's purpose? What is holding me back from serving humanity? Am I on the right path? Will it come as I open up more, etc.? Well, Don, what I want to tell you about this is that Okay, let me just hear what the record is saying about this for you. Somehow I got disconnected, but here I'm back again. Okay, hello everybody. I don't know when he disconnected me, but that I'm here. Okay, so I'm asking Don, I'm answering Don's question about soul purpose and about being on the right path and serving humanity. What's important, Don, here is to know. So there's going to be a little bit of silence here, folks, so just bear with me, because what's important is when I answer these questions, I don't interpret anything, and I don't tell you what I think it means or anything like that. I tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. And so as the record keepers speak to me is when I speak to you. So I need to just be silent for just a moment. So talk amongst yourselves for a minute, because this is an important question, not just for Don, but it's an important question for all of you listening. So one of the most important things that you all need to understand, because what I'm hearing is that everyone wants to understand about serving humanity and being on the right path, etc., and fulfilling their purpose. And the most important piece that you can move into is serving yourself. And I say that, I'm going to say that again slower. The most important piece you can move into is serving yourself. We have been conditioned in our cultures to not to put ourselves last and to consider and try never to be quote unquote selfish by putting ourselves first. But the piece on that that is important to shift is to understand that until you understand what you want, you'll always be always be dancing to someone else's drummer. And as long as you're dancing to someone else's drummer by doing activities or participating in activities that you quote-unquote think you should do, when you are participating in things that you think you should do and not activities that you deeply want to do, that you align to, that's the key. The key is your alignment with the activities and the events and the people. Because when you align to the joy of those the joy of that process, that joy is what aligns you to your purpose. And please understand, your quote-unquote purpose, all right, is joyful, does feel good, and that's where you want to be. At the same time, when you are strong in living your purpose by being joyful in whatever it is you want to do, you also give others that same opportunity to be joyful as well. The misconception is that if I devote my life to pleasing others, I will be a good person. People will like me, and I will find joy. And the other misconception is, if I don't find joy in pleasing everyone else other than me, there must be something wrong with me. Both of those opinions or concepts are they're untrue and they're misleading. Because when you model joy and you model strength and you model being straight and you model speaking your truth and you model caring, but you also model caring for yourself, you actually are showing people not only how to treat you, but you also are showing them how to treat themselves. And so when you move into that alignment of doing what makes you feel good, what brings you joy, then and only then are you able to really appreciate living your life and working your life's purpose, because your purpose equals feeling good. There's no other way to explain it. If you're a healer and you find joy in healing, but there's a part of you that says, oh, I don't think you're doing it right, or I don't know if they're getting anything, or it doesn't feel like they're getting anything, but the fact of the matter is you feel good in quote-unquote pretending you're doing it, that's what you have to look at. Because true healing modalities, true people who truly transfer energy from one to another, and quite frankly, we all can do that, but for those people who are focused on doing this for a living, their intention of moving into that modality, their intention of moving into that peace, their intention of moving into that paradigm puts them where they need to be. As soon as they enter into a thought that says, I might not be good enough, it literally shifts them out of that paradigm. And the thought of doubt is what creates the actual loss of contact. So when you're in the midst of working in a healing modality and you feel like you're not doing it right, then I've got to tell you, the creators will obey your wish and you won't be doing it right. So as soon as you think, I'm not doing this right, I want you to embrace that thought with light and love. And I want you to embrace that thought of light and love, and I want you to cover it and totally embrace it and say to yourself, I am sharing the most magnificent love I have. And because my intention is to share this love, that is all I need to do. It's a very powerful statement. There is no quote-unquote healing modality on this planet all healing modalities on this planet, every single one of them, are benefited and expanded by holding as an intention the transmission of more love. It's a very important piece, very important piece. And so the more love you will hold, the more you release any type of anger that you have within you, or the more you release your doubt of what's holding you back. And I just want to make a comment on this. The majority of people who feel they're being held back from their purpose are folks who are listening to other people's belief systems. That's very important. Other people's belief systems. So you no longer have to exist in other people's belief systems. You no longer have to believe what other people tell you about who you are. That's no longer necessary. What is necessary is for you to get very clear and anchor in your deepest heart of heart that you are truly loved. And there is nothing you could ever do that would ever disconnect you or create a situation that you would not be loved by the divine. For it is only us, we as humans, that feel the doubt within us, because the divine knows our true magnificence and doesn't doubt us for a moment. Our divine, the divine light, holds all probabilities and possibilities like a beautiful banquet, like a cornucopia of light. And it is there for us to pick and choose and move into our own delightful natures. So to be love is to walk in love. And to walk in love is to act in love. And the first step of being in love is receiving the love of self from God. And I hope you really know how important that is. I hope you really feel the light and the energy that's being transmitted to you right now. Just take a moment and allow yourself to be bathed in that divine love, for it's going out to each and every one of you. Whether you're listening to this program as it's being transmitted right now, or if you're listening to an archive, the energy is encoded in my voice through the masters, teachers, and loved ones. And you are being held in magnificent light to open your heart, your minds, to your own unlimited potential, your own unlimited probabilities, your own unlimited possibilities. For this is just a playground, and you're a beautiful child of the universe. And there's cotton candy all around. And there's music and song. And you're deeply loved for all that you are, all that you're not, and all that you are yet to be. Thank you so much for listening to Akashic Wisdom tonight. Thank you for your questions. The ones we didn't get to, we'll cover next week. You're deeply loved, and I look forward to hearing from you. If you'd like to know more about your personal path, call me. We can set up a time to go deeper into what you need to know about who you are and where you're going. If you'd like to come and experience the magnificent joy of learning how to open up your own Akashic records, call me. I'm going to be in Seattle, or you can come to Cleveland or Philadelphia or wherever, or you can bring me in. Just know that you don't need any background. You don't need any prerequisite to learn how to work with the Akashic records. All you need is your desire and your intention and your openness. And level one will teach you the rest about opening your own Akashic records. Love to meet you in Seattle, so please give me a call. Telephone number is 216-691-1233. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I look forward to hearing from you. And I'm glad I was able to help you, Don. He wrote back that it was a great confirmation of what he already knew, and that's important. To know that you know. And so the time for Akashic Wisdom show has now come to a close. May you see beauty in every being you encounter this week. May you notice and know, K-N-O-W, that everyone you meet is a divine spark of light and love, including the one that looks back at you in the mirror. And so I'm going to close by saying I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of all these wonderful beings of light listening to the Ask the Akashic Wisdom show tonight on June 3rd, 2007. We ask that their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may they all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records by saying amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Bye for now.